Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: Works, Labors, and Services. Chapter 13. Choosing to practice good works is primarily a personal and not a collective decision. After addressing some of the main aspects that determine the classification of works before the Lord, we believe it is also very significant to highlight that the option for the practice of good works, or walking in them, refers to a personal decision, and not collective as some try to claim it to be. Just as the choice to receive the salvation offered by God is a personal or individual decision, so the choice to walk in the works that accompany salvation or that God has prepared beforehand is also a personal decision. 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Hebrews 6:9. But, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. On the other hand, when we mentioned above that the decision to walk in good works prepared beforehand by God is personal or that each Christian should be mindful of how one builds on Christ, we are not claiming that the Lord does not cooperatively use the set of works, labors, and services performed by many Christians. In the Scriptures, we can observe that Christians are also considered as part of the holy nation, the chosen people, and His own special people to announce, through their words and their actions, the greatness of Him who called them out of darkness to His marvelous light. The Lord does not intend that only one Christian or a very restricted handful of Christians fulfill the mission of showing the glory of God in Christ Jesus to the world. On the contrary, God's purpose is precisely the opposite. God's purpose is to manifest His glory to the world through many who believe in Him, as exemplified in the following texts. 2 Corinthians 4:15. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. 1 Peter 2:9 till 12. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. The Lord's will includes the fact that His glory comes to be manifested to all people of all nations, peoples, tribes, and languages, but that this action also comes to be done through His own special people, that is, all those individuals who have been bought by the blood of Christ, have received the Lord in the heart, and are in all these nations, peoples, and tribes of the world. And being the will of God that His glory comes to be known by many, this also will be fulfilled in this way, for none of God's purposes can be withheld. Nevertheless, an inadequate understanding of the individual role and the role of the collective in the practice of works, as well as the failure to distinguish between them, may cause significant damage to individuals and, consequently, also to the collective. A collective only exists because of the individuals that compose it. Therefore, it is from what is done through individuals that the actions of the collective are also expressed. A flock of sheep, for instance, only exists if there are individual sheep that make it up. Otherwise, it is just a virtual and empty concept, just as a body cannot exist if there is not a minimum set of individual members properly united to make it up. Many people, however, tend to reverse the process of composing the collective from individuals and start to want to treat the sets as if they could have life only based on the very concept of groups, even without the presence of the individuals who make them a collective. In this way, as the world is associated with the bondage of corruption, many people, for example, seek to attribute to it and its subsets all the blame for the corrupted pattern of life that they individually adopt. Under the concept that the collective has life in itself, people, also as an example, begin to claim that government A or B is responsible for what happens in their regions, that party A or B has caused this or that, that company X or Y has been corrupting the market, that it is religious institution A or B that rules the behavior of certain people, and so on. Now, collectivities dissociated of people have no life in themselves, for they are operated and commanded by individuals who associate with them for common purposes. It is living individuals who give life to collectivities. Therefore, if collectivities are corrupted, it is people who have corrupted them. If their collectivities cease to function or even cease to exist, it is the people who have abandoned the life of the specific collectivities they formed. Among other terms, the scriptures also call various collectivities as principalities and powers, highlighting, however, that they also do not work by themselves, and may even come to be operated by the rulers of the darkness of this age and who, in turn, are instigated and strengthened by spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Thus, if several people want to convey the idea that an individual can hide behind a collective, it should be noted here that this is not applicable before God and the salvation in Christ. And for this reason, too, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us that the gate of decision for the path of the newness of life that comes from the kingdom of God is narrow, for a person can only pass through it individually. Matthew 7:13-14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult, or also narrow, is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. John 10:9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. Romans 10:13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Given this, we see that one of the main aspects that Christ came to reveal to the world, when he presented himself to it as the Savior coming from the heavenly kingdom, is that God created human beings for each of them to live and walk according to personal faith in him, and that, through this faith, an individual does not need to be subject to the collective flows of the world, even if one lives in places where people try to impose this type of flow of life on others. 1 Peter 4:1-5. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. When we also see examples in the Bible such as Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Ruth, Moses, Joshua, Esther, Daniel, and others, we can clearly see that these made a firm choice to walk in faith and the ways of the Lord even though they found themselves amid collectivities predominantly opposed to God. And for this reason, they personally experienced the Lord's favor and even became channels of great beneficial impact also for their societies. Therefore, although an individual's personal decisions and actions may contribute to the collective good or may oppose it, the positioning of the choice of how to live and walk regarding Christ and the works of God is individual. The Christian life is not just a proposition for people to stop being of the world. It is also the offer of a new journey in the novelty of life. And just as salvation is not collective, so also the daily decision to walk in God is not collective but characterized by continually making personal choices. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me." John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." How significant, then, this expression "he who follows me" is, for the Lord does not say that he who follows in the collective stream of a high number of people, or the majority, will be the one who will not walk in darkness. So, the place for knowing the truth is not in the flow of collective movements, but in personal faith in Christ. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Moreover, complementing the teaching that the gate or the door to eternal life is narrow, the Lord Jesus also declared that the way leading to it is similarly narrow. Therefore, if the choice for the door to receive salvation from God is a personal decision, so is also walking in Christ. Although God uses the expression "his own people" several times, the Lord also teaches us that this collective is composed of individuals who have a name of their own and have individual characteristics of children and members of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. The children of God are not called by the Lord to be independent of God and the other members of the body of Christ. On the contrary, they are called to act cooperatively, but this does not mean that the collective can impose its yearnings or desires on Christ's members. In Christ, each member is linked to the body and remains connected to it individually and not collectively, the whole body of Christ having only one sovereign head over each of the members. As addressed extensively on the theme of the Gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ, the children of God make up the family of God and are called to cooperate and act together with it. However, or even so, each of God's children has unique attributes and a personal relationship to be cultivated with the Lord, on whom each child effectively should be dependent in everything. Therefore, one of the central points associated with salvation in Christ is for a Christian to understand that one no longer needs to be guided by the collective impulse to choose and carry out works in the world, for a personal relationship with the Lord is available to this Christian to be able to walk in the works prepared beforehand by God for us to walk in them. A Christian is not called to submit to the world guided by the sum of the wills of those who walk in the flesh and not according to Christ. On the contrary, every Christian is called to submit to Christ and be active in the world as God leads and strengthens him or her. Romans 8:10-14. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Many people use the argument that the system of the world imposes their behaviors. However, for those who know the Lord's counsel, This type of argument does not match or express what God offers people through faith in Christ Jesus. 1 John 5, 4-5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? If a Christian is not overcoming the world and continues to run in its same flood of dissipation, it is because one is not living and walking in the faith of Christ as one is called to do, and consequently one is not walking in the Lord. 1 John 4, 1-4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Christ in you, greater is he who is in you than the one that is in the world. The Lord's divine seed remains in whoever has been born of God, and so on, are expressions that point to the condition of the hearts of individuals, showing us that it is from the presence of Christ in an individual that one can choose to practice good works or to walk in them, and not by the external or collective aspect. Colossians 1:26-27. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Choosing to receive Christ in the heart as Lord, starting to follow him, and walking according to the good works of God are actions directly associated with exclusively personal decisions before the Lord. And not even another Christian can stand between Christ and the one who wants to follow the Lord to know what one should do or what one should reject. Those who insist on trying to place themselves as leaders of other people in their Christian life, also for the definition and ordering of which specific works, labors, and services they should do or not do, resist the will and direct teaching of Christ not to be leaders and guides of other lives. A point widely presented with several texts of the Scriptures in the themes about the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ, the gospel of God's righteousness, another gospel, or a different gospel, and the fellowship of Christians in the world. If a particular Christian, or even a group of Christians, turns away from following Christ and walking in the good works that God prepared beforehand, this does not need to imply that other Christians do the same. For following Christ is, firstly, personal, and so it should be learned and practiced. A Christian is personally sent by Christ to be in the world, and one needs to be careful not to become a slave to collective institutions, including those that claim to represent Christ on earth. And this is because one of the leading damages these institutions aim to produce is to deprive the Christian of one's personal decisions before Christ and thus put this individual at risk of destruction precisely in the collective or what many call their assemblies or congregations. Proverbs 5, 14. I was on the verge of total ruin, in the midst of the assembly and congregation. When people turn away from listening to Christ's instruction, given through the Holy Spirit, about what they personally should do or not do, and, instead, begin to listen to those who wrongly call themselves leaders of their spiritual lives, it is men and women, and their goals, that they serve, and not Christ. In this last path, people may voluntarily become slaves of others and their groups, even being subject to the risk of making these leaders their idols. Since worshiping is also expressed as serving, when a person serves another individual contrary to God's instruction and according to what that other person instructs one to do, one also places oneself at risk of coming to worship or hallow those towards whom they should not do so. 1 Corinthians 3, 4. For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Galatians 2, 4-5. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Considering that a Christian will give personal or individual account to God for one's life in the world, and no other person and no institution can represent an individual at this most crucial hour before eternity, there is no reason for a person to follow one's fellow men and their institutions thinking that one will be able to justify oneself before God for having followed others instead of following Christ, who offers to guide each one who believes in him. Romans 14, 11-12. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God." 2 Corinthians 5, 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. 1 Corinthians 3, 13. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work, of what sort it is. Given that each individual will be accountable personally or directly to God, would it not be better for each to bow one's knees before him and confess him as Lord instead of wanting to be guided by the collective or other people? Since it is before the Lord that every Christian will render an account, is it not better for a person to seek the Lord himself now for the steps and specific acts of one's life, also receiving from now on the instructions of Christ that will be well recognized in the future rendering of accounts? The Lord Jesus Christ himself already offers his Holy Spirit to dwell in the heart of every Christian so that each one from now on and every new day can be guided into all truth, also to have one's works approved at the future accountability time. And the Lord Jesus Christ truly grants the Holy Spirit to everyone who believes in him and receives him as the Lord in one's lives, as we see below. John 7, 38-39, A. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. John 16, 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Galatians 4, 3-6. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, "Abba, Father." Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. It is because the Spirit of the Lord can always and in everything be with those who have Christ as Lord that a Christian can also choose to do all works, labors, and services according to the instruction, direction, and strength of the Lord. In Psalm 1, we can also observe that the blessing described in it is personalized. And even the fact that the counsel of the ungodly, the path of sinners, and the seat of the scornful are mentioned in the plural, or make reference to their collectives, it does not make these alternatives profitable for the one who follows them. However, the point highlighted in this psalm is the individual positioning of each person in favor of the will of God and in rejection of the attitudes and counsels of those who oppose the Lord. Psalms 1, 1-6. Blessed is the man, or individual, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Finally, we underline that a collective does not change due to changes initiated by the collective. A group incurs significant changes if the individuals in that group change significantly. And some collectives can never be changed, only left, or extinguished, as they are characterized by the set of people who practice things in common and whose change in their practices automatically extinguish their collective sets. For example, a band of thieves and robbers cannot change to be a collective of honest and honorable people, for if this happens, they are no longer thieves and robbers. If everyone in a band stop being a thief and a robber, the so-called band of thieves and robbers becomes extinct or ceases to exist. Thus, the collective called world cannot be saved, as it is composed of the sum of the acts that make it up. For this reason, a person's only solution regarding the world is individually to stop being part of it and to stop walking in the path of the unfruitful works of darkness. So, here again, to choose to stop being of the world and doing its works, to be a child of God and walk in the Lord's light, is a personal decision. Through concepts about collectivities, groups, or sets in which there is no balanced emphasis on what each individual's attributes are, several people want to convey the idea that everyone is responsible at the same time, but also the mistaken presumption that responsibility is also nobody's. Many people, even on purpose, seek to hide behind the collective so as not to change the works that each one, with the personal help of God, should change in one's own life. The concept of collective responsibility, but which does not clarify that in reality it does not exist dissociated from the individual responsibility of the people who make up a collectivity, is one of the great fascinations that the devil does not want to be clearly known to keep people imprisoned in their illusions. Repeatedly, when people put more emphasis on the collective than their relationship with God, they come to love the collective and its works more than God, as well as being inclined to trade the truth to protect the collective. And, in turn, when people value the collective more than walking personally in the will of God, they also begin to be inclined to practice the most absurd actions or works supposedly suggested to them by what they call their groups or collectivities. Now, in Christ, all humankind received an alternative so that people individually can approach God, even if the majority does not. Christ brought the possibility that each one, regardless of the whole or the majority, can live and walk according to God's will. Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Once Christians personally know who they have believed in, and this aspect is also well established in their lives, they may encourage each other never to leave this personal place in Christ. However, when they weaken in the understanding that each one serves the Lord in the first place, they tend to want to follow the works of a collective with its leaders, contrary to what Christ tells them to follow. Therefore, in Christ, the Christian has the provision to be able to choose good and reject evil personally. And this, of course, also applies to the works, labors, and services to be performed even if the world around them points out other ways. However, to understand and experience this truth in one's life, the Christian needs to be willing personally to practice the work of eating solid food and not relying on milk alone or just keeping oneself in the discussion of the most elementary principles of Christ's teaching, as follows. Hebrews 5:13-14. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The world is not a simple kindergarten of evil, but is experienced in it. For this reason, the Christian is also called personally to mature in the Lord to discern, through fellowship with God, the good, the path in which one should walk, and the works one should do on this path, as well as to be able to discern what is associated with evil so that one may reject it through the wisdom and the power of the Lord. Thus, to discern both good and evil, it is essential to know that in Christ is all life, all knowledge, and all discernment, but also that each one can, personally, always draw close to the Lord. On the other hand, it is crucial for an individual to be aware that without Christ, one is not fit to walk in the ways or works of God, nor even to discern and choose what is good and reject evil. 1 Corinthians 2, 12-16. Now we have received, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Romans 8, 1-2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.